Hey guys, this is Life Talks with Scott, and it is Wednesday morning. You know, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit for like the last 10 podcasts, and you know, we're going to continue today. We're moving into the spiritual gifts, you know, and so on Monday, I talked about words of wisdom and words of knowledge, really words of wisdom. Most of us, if you come to Christian or you've been in the charismatic community, you kind of know words of knowledge, what they are. It's just having real information about someone or something revealed to you through the Holy Spirit, okay, like factual, real information, right? Then you get words of wisdom. Remember, that was a little different. That was the Lord speaking to you. It could be maybe the right steps to take in a certain situation. It could be the right methods, the right strategy for doing something, the right administration of something, anything, right? Anything. But it's the Lord speaks and it's true. But when you speak it, it also carries the ability to pierce the heart of someone else, and they see it for true as well, right? And so think of like the Queen of Sheba when she came to visit Solomon. It's in 1 Kings chapter 10, I believe. When she comes to visit Solomon, it says that she looked at everything. She looked at his courts, the way that he laid his tables. I mean, she literally looked at everything, and it said that she was amazed at the wisdom, right? She just looked at it and she's like, wow, this is just wisdom. You know, for her, it's truth. Like, this is the right, correct way, right? And so that's kind of what a word of wisdom does. So today we're picking up in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll start in, let me see what verse we're going to start in. We'll start halfway through or towards the end of verse 7. We'll start in verse 9, right? Okay. So we're talking about the gifts of Spirit here, and it says to another the gift of faith by the same Spirit. Okay, so the next one we get to after a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge is the gift of faith. All right, so the gift of faith. You know, think about it. The Hebrews tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God, which tells us that faith pleases Him, right? Not only that, but faith is so dependent in our relationship with the Lord. Anything that is not of faith is sin, right? As the New Testament tells us. But a gift of faith is different, right? The gift of faith is completely different. There are times when the Lord calls us to do something, and there's some serious, you know, trust issues and maybe even some doubt there. It's like, I think this is it, right? And you kind of step out with your eyes closed, not really knowing. But then there are moments when the Lord calls us to do something, and you know, like you know without a doubt, right? Without a doubt that the Lord's going to come through. It could be the exact same situation, maybe in a different season, but you know without a doubt the Lord's coming through. That could be a gift of faith, right? You know, a gift of faith could be a promise that the Lord gives you, and you just know without a doubt that it's going to happen. All right. The other example of a gift of faith is that you have faith for someone else, right? So, for example, you could have someone come up to you and pray for healing, and as you're praying, it's like you just know. I mean, there's like you know it's true. You know it's going to happen. It's not I worked up my emotion. It's not like we're just going to stand on the word of God thing. That's not what I'm talking about. It is an immediate, direct communication from the Lord where you know without a doubt that this person will be healed, right? Let me give you an example of mine. I remember I was in the Amazons back in 2012 in a small community that we were staying in, and in the middle of nowhere. And we had kind of this outreach at night, almost kind of like an evangelistic outreach for the community. And we had a local, I call him apostle. He called himself a pastor, but he literally oversaw like hundreds of churches throughout the Amazon and just had authority in that region. So he really was kind of an apostolic individual. And so what happened is, you know, they did this giant meeting, and a woman brought her mom up who was deaf, right? And I started praying, nothing. She was still deaf. And I remember looking at her daughter, and I said, look, I know nothing happened when I prayed. I said, if you bring her tomorrow and have him pray for you, and I pointed to the speaker. I said, he'll be here. Bring her tomorrow. Have him pray for you. She will be healed. Like, it was a faith thing. I was like, without a doubt. I mean, I don't think I said, I promise you, but I was like, she will be healed. All right. She will be healed. And I just knew it. And then it's like, after I walked away, I'm like, what did I just say? Oh my gosh. I don't want to create false hope, but I knew without a doubt that there was a statement of faith. And so, you know, I had actually forgotten about it. And the next day, he was ministering in the church, this little building there, I remember seeing this woman and her mom walk in. And I remember seeing them walk in and go up to this man for prayer. And so I just sat there and I'm like, come on, Jesus. And he just prays for her, and boom, her ears open and she can hear. She starts crying. The daughter starts crying. And I'm just like, wow, that's amazing. Right? And you say, well, you know, why didn't it happen when you prayed for him? Were prayed for her. Well, one, he's the apostle of that region. Like, he was the apostle of that region. So he had an authority, and it was a spiritual issue attached to it. And I just, like, you know, I have the authority of Jesus, but this man right here is carrying the authority for this region, and he's really you know, grown in his anointing and for this. And I was just like, I don't know why me, but the Lord was like, he'll do it. And it keeps you humble too. But anyway, so that's an example of a word of faith. Another word of faith could be, for example, when the centurion came to Jesus and was like, you know, my servant's sick, you know, I really need a miracle. And Jesus is like, okay, I'm coming. And he sends word. He's like, look, I'm a man of authority too. I know if you say it, he'll be healed. So just say it. Like, he saw and he had faith. He knew the authority Jesus had in the spirit realm, and he knew if he just said it, that his servant would be healed. And it says that Jesus marveled at his faith, right? This is a Gentile, okay? A Gentile, yet Jesus marveled at his faith. That's, I think, in Luke chapter 7, that he didn't even see such faith in Israel, right? And so what is faith? Faith is literally, it's not just having mental like a mental agreement with something. That is not faith. So the problem that we get now in a lot of church denominations is they have doctrine, they have creedal statements, and you come into faith by agreeing with those creedal statements. That is not faith. That is a mental agreement. That is like you are coming to agreement with the doctrine, okay? It's completely different than real faith. Real faith is spiritual in essence. It is when you know, you trust, and you obey, okay? It has an essence of obedience to it, right? And so there are times as well when, you know, even when you're giving prophetic words on someone, especially if it's like a directional word, you just have faith. I remember last summer, I was ministering in Brazil. Me and John were down there, but I was ministering with a friend of mine from Colombia. And I remember we were both praying for this family member, and I just keep getting this feeling like they're supposed to move to another city. And they're supposed to move to another city. And, you know, we have protocol, obviously, when we give prophetic words, and so I didn't want to say anything, but my friend just starts saying, you know what, I feel like you're supposed to move to another city. And I said, and right there, I was just like, yes. Yeah, like the faith of the Lord came on me. I said, yes, you are supposed to move, and the Lord will speak it to you. You know, so it was just so clear and without a doubt that the faith that came with it. So, you know, that's an example of the gift of faith. It is a gift. It is a deposit of faith. Some people have this, and it's like something they walk in 24/7, and then sometimes it's just something the Lord drops on us for a season or a time or a specific situation. You know, we all always talk about Todd White. Todd White just has a gift of faith. Like, he is what we call a raw faither, which is a beautiful gift. But it is a gift. You know, he just has a gift of faith. And And you can see it. It's a very powerful gift. Right? Now to demand that everyone walk in that is like demanding that everyone speaks tongues. Okay, now you're all called to live a life of faith, but a gift of faith is not something you can require of people. It's something that's a gift, a gracious gift from the Holy Spirit. Okay, so don't get the gift of faith and the reality of faith mixed up. All right, they're two different things. And then it says to another gift of faith by same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Okay, so then we get to gifts of healing. I mean, that's fairly obvious. You pray for someone and they're healed. The healing is, it's not only part of the, it's not really, people argue that it's part of the atonement. And, you know, I'm theologically speaking, I'm either way. You know, if you want to say by his stripes we're healed, I agree. But for me, healing is part of the new covenant. Right, healing, when you come into the new covenant, you're coming into a reality to where healing is part of your inheritance, right? It's part of your inheritance because the Spirit of God's about to live in you and indwell you, okay? And here's the thing about God. God doesn't heal. He is healing, right? He is healing, okay? He is life and he is healing. And so it's part of who he is that he wants to manifest, right, in the reality of that. And so, you know, a lot of times we can heal, if you want to really get technical, there are multiple reasons why someone could be sick. They're just sick because of physical issues, or they're sick because of spiritual issues. If they're sick because of spiritual issues, then you're healing when you speak for them to be healed. It's based off authority over spiritual evil spirits, okay? You know, you have the authority over evil spirits, and so when you pray for them, a lot of it's casting out spirits of infirmity or any evil spirit, or even walking them through forgiveness where these things have come in. Okay, so that's an authority thing. But then there's just the gift of healing where it's like you're sick, you know, and we have someone who has a gift of healing. They're going to pray for you, and you're going to get better, okay? So sometimes they're attached to spiritual issues. Sometimes they're not, okay? I think the more I grow in this, the more I'm seeing a connection with spiritual issues. But sometimes it's like, you know, you slip and break your leg, right? Okay, that's just the reality of, no, it's just you're broken. You know, it's not attached to a spiritual thing at all. And so, you know, a gift of healing is just you praying and seeing that person physically restored, okay? And so that's a gift different from the authority that comes through being a believer in Jesus and using the name of Jesus. So, you know, authority comes through the name of Jesus. The gift comes through the Holy Spirit. You know, so I don't want to confuse anyone, but the healing as a gift is for the physical stuff. When it's attached to a let's say a demonic spirit, then you're talking authority now and casting out that demon, right? And a lot of times when you cast that demon out, any of it's the effects that it brings in someone's lives, you just pray for restoration and the Lord will restore it. So those are two we're going to talk about today. You got gifts of the Spirit, you got gift of faith, and you got the gift of healing. So those are two two big ones. You know, I have a friend who's in Colombia who has such a gift of healing. It's amazing. I always like going out with him when we go minister. I'm always like, I'm going with Tato because things happen, you know, in terms of healing wise. He's an amazing man of God. But I remember one time, you know, we were at a school, and I remember he prayed for some dude who didn't have arches. He had flat feet. And he said, you know, let's pray. So all I did was pray, right? Prayed a couple times. You know, he'll pray for you 10 times if you let him. So prayed like two or three times. Well, the next week, and the dude runs in there, rips his feet off, and he's like, look at my feet, look at my feet. He grew arches, right? He completely grew arches. You know, I've seen this guy, he prayed for people who've had tumors on the back of their head and they've just dissolved. He's got such a beautiful gift, and I just celebrate the gift that he is to the body of Christ. But some people just have that anointing. I remember listening to Bill Johnson's son, Eric, years ago. I mean, like 10 years ago almost. Eric Johnson was talking about how he really wanted to walk in healing. So he went with Randy Clark, who's very well known for having healing ministry, and did a trip in Brazil. And he was like, man, when I was praying for people, people were being healed left and right. It was amazing. He goes, and I come back, and I'm like, yeah, we're going to go pray for people to be healed. So he comes back from the mission trip, is at his church, and starts praying, and no one's being healed. And he's like, what? What the heck? Well, he finally realized, like, he was under Randy Clark's covering, right? Under his apostolic covering. And when you're under that covering, you kind of step into the giftings that that person has. And so you start to operate with that authority of the covering. And so he was operating, he was pretty much, I call it under the cover of the apostle, you kind of get all the benefits that's under that as well, which is another reason why it's always important to be aligned apostolically. But, he said it was amazing, and he had to grow in that gift and that authority and that anointing himself, right? So then, another example is, like, here at Christian Center, if you want to talk about coming under alignment with someone, you know, it's funny, when you come into Christian Center, a lot of times it's like you step into this revelation portal and you start having dreams and start getting prophetic words that you didn't get on your own. Why? Well, it's because you're coming under the covering of Pastor Tim, okay, and you're coming under the covering of this house and everything that that includes, all right? And so that's why that happens a lot. Which is why, you know, if you align with someone who walks in something, then you're able to develop that and walk in that, and kind of like it's like a synergy sort of thing where, you know, the Lord starts to, you get to experience the anointing that someone else carries if you're under them, and then you also kind of grow and develop yours while you're under them. It's a really awesome thing, and for me it speaks the importance of discipleship and generational mindsets. So anyway, we'll stop there today. We'll cover those two, and tomorrow we'll pick up with the prophecy and discernment and things like that. So hope you guys are blessed, and I will speak with you guys on Friday.